invites you in a process. So there is a becoming. And one way of becoming, not the only way, but one important way is we become who you are in the place of prayer. If you're a believer and you don't have a prayer life, you will never become the you that God intended you to be. I'll say that strongly. If you don't have a prayer life, there is a part of you that will be malformed or unformed, not deformed necessarily, but unformed. There will be an area that will be stunted and that will lack maturity. So prayer, at the heart of prayer, is not really about asking and doing, but it's you becoming the person that God has always intended you to be. Because it's in prayer that your relationship with God is worked out. Your love relationship, your trust relationship. It's a place where you discover the heart of God. And where you also discover yourselves in honest conversation. In your struggles, in your joys. So all the stuff that is part of you gets aired, gets shared. And in that sort of cauldron, in that kind of intense heat, you get warm. There's a molten moment. There's a time where steel pipes are made. It's called a molten moment. At a certain temperature, you can form a pipe. You've seen YouTube and the making of a Japanese knives. There's a certain heat where that metal, that steel, is malleable. Only when it's malleable can you shape it. If the heat is too intense, it's too soft. Heat is not intense enough, then it's too hard. And in our walks with God, we enter into our molten moment in prayer, especially when things are difficult. Because that's when you are desperate. That's when you sort out who's there for you. Is God really there? And when God meets you in your weakness, then you know after that experience, there's a knowledge of God that's first thing. I know. I know that I've heard his voice. I know his heart. He met me in my time. I know. You get to know yourself. You get to discover your resilience. You get to discover that even when you're knocked down, there's a part of you that will keep on rising up. And you rise up in prayer. So that's so important. So there's a certain gift that's given to suffering. That is the gift of coming before God. You become you. Last week I talked about you taking your rightful place. And I relay my own little experience of being an immigrant in the U.S. With a lot of immigrants, it's a common experience. You don't totally feel at home. You're a guest. That's just a common experience. You don't have to be You are heirs. You are seated with Christ. There's lofty language about being with Christ. But if you're going to have a hard time believing it, if you're always a second-class citizen, if you're always on the margins, you're always on the outside looking in. And the Lord says to us, no, no, you take the rightful place. You look at Psalm 24. All the world is God. God is the owner. And you are sons and daughters. You belong to God. You are qualified to stand in His presence. And so this is a case where your belongingness in God, since I belong to God, can now feed into your experience in America, in Korea, Japan, or Turkey, or Mexico, wherever. That you're standing before God and say, oh, this is who I am. That confidence in God can now inform how you see yourself in America. You're an immigrant. In the U.S., if you're a minority. As God's servant, if you're a woman in a man's world, so to speak, you can still feel, no, I belong to God. And you tell the devil, no, I have full authority. I am qualified by Jesus. And this is subtle, but it's important because, again, I mean, I myself kind of struggle with that. It's hard for me to come into the fullness of the authority, of my authority, identity, my inheritance, and part of me says, based on Leviticus 18:19. Love your neighbor as yourself. The assumption is you naturally love yourself. So the way you love yourself, love your neighbor. So the Bible assumes that it's natural for people to love themselves. And that's true. That's true. We love ourselves because, when something dangerous happens, get out of the way. There's instinctively we have a drive of self-preservation, self-protection. We feed ourselves with what we're doing. So we love ourselves in that way. Now it's another matter whether or not we love ourselves well. Some of us really do not know how to love.
so the Bible assumes that. And so in that way, unholiness is unnatural. From God's point of view, when God created human beings in human nature, he had in mind that this human nature be one with him and be holy. But there was a corruption. There was a breakdown. There was something wrong, and that is called sin and unholiness. That is not natural for us. Sickness is not natural. Pain and disease is not natural. The natural good state is healed state. Conflict, division, hatred, those are not natural. They happen, but it was never meant to be for us. That's not natural from God's point of view. When he thought of humans and human nature, he always thought of the human nature as being holy. And so, our call to holiness is natural, not alien. And it's not just for the super spiritual, for every believer. So I want to unpack that a little bit. The title of this thing is Fight for Your Healing and Holiness. I use the word fight because it's intentional. It's not going to happen all the time. This is a battle, a struggle. So I want to read this beautiful passage from Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about holiness in this life. But the way to holiness is impossible for the sinner. No religion except Jesus can deliver a human being from their sinful nature. Every religion taps into human resources. Or no religious system is powerful enough to lead you to holiness. It takes God. It takes God Himself. The power that's greater than sin is the Spirit of God, and He unpacks this in further chapters and later chapters of Romans. The power that's more powerful than sin is the Holy Spirit, which we receive through Jesus Christ. So in order to overcome this intrinsic issue here, this propensity to be wicked, to be unrighteous, to move away from God, that propensity can only be stopped by God Himself. And out of His mercy, He reached down. The power of sin has been broken in Jesus Christ. And as we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us, brings us into a new relationship by which we cry out, Abba, Father, and the Spirit begins to intercede for us, begins to work. And for the first time in our lives, we have to. The Christian is the only human being with true freedom. Now, you and I have freedom. What are the options? I can do things to please God in obedience. Or I can disobey Him. Prior to that, you only have two other options. It's two versions of sin. Do I stab them or do I kill them? Your options are limited. The option to love God was never there, even in religion. It's going to be a form of like works righteousness. Do I pray or do I fast? But fasting and prayer itself in any religious system won't get you out of it. It's just activity. Because what's fueling it is not God. It's not a sanctified, saved, cleansed heart. It's a wicked heart. And that was the whole inner turmoil of Martin Luther. No matter what he did, he was convicted by sin. Even the good things he did, he questioned, why am I doing it? Until he was released through the cross, through grace, through faith. There's nothing in him. Only thing he can receive is receive God's grace. And his only input, so to speak, is faith. So love you. Everything is all by Christ. It's always the Christian is the only person free. And that's why Paul's addressing now, giving you freedom. What are you doing? Why are you going back to sin?
tasting. And Pastor Tom and I were young fathers. A lot of our conversation was like tricking our kids to eat healthy. Like, okay, what do you do? Oh, yeah, blueberry and blueberry. Because he was a very conscientious dad. Jacob and Christopher and Clifford. My son, he doesn't eat good food in the night. We were trying stories. Like, how do we sneak vegetables and blueberries, these fruits and vegetables, into the food because on their own? Son, eat broccoli. No. Here, it's a candy. Yes. And so, as adults, when we think of holiness as it's good for us, but not tasty, we won't really go for it. We won't be holy. That's how the unsanctified mind thinks. The unsanctified mind, meaning the unholy mind, thinks of holiness. Ugh, it's restricting, it's a burden, it's not fun. Pressure. I'm here to tell you, that's not how God sees it. That's not how God sees it. God says, be holy, if I am holy. Jesus, he's holy. So we want to know what is holiness. The reason why I could fight for your health is that I'm using that as an analogy. Many of us will pay attention to our health when we get sick. I use my example. I'm a young guy, eating, this many years ago eating. And one day, the doctor said, your triglycerides are very high. This is a precursor to diabetes. Do you have any diabetes in your family? Yeah. My brother, my dad. Do you know what happens to diabetes in the long term? It's serious. You get your lambs amputated, you get blind, you have all those kind of things. And then, I said, okay, what do I need to do? You got to exercise, and you got to change your diet. What do you eat? Fried rice. You got to cut that out. Okay, fried rice. Okay. Prior to that, when you're young and healthy, you don't think. You just eat whatever. Oh, yeah, number three. You just eat. And when you're young and have high metabolism and get fat, I love seafood. I see the food, and I'm just eating it. But then when I got high triglycerides, I was like, oh, I got to start running. I got to watch. Okay. And so when we get sick, most of us, we have a wake-up call. No, I need to do what's healthy. Okay, what do I need? Oh, I got to cut that out from my diet. I got to get some exercise. Okay. Why? Because we want to live. And we want to live without disease and pain. So I'm using that as an analogy. Your unholiness is making you really sick. We are more than our bodies. Okay? Health, physical health is about our bodies, taking care of our bodies. We are in soul bodies, or we're in body souls. There's a soul, spiritual part of you. Physical health is important for your bodies. If your body's dead, you're dead. Okay? So you gotta take care of your body, but we gotta take care of our soul. And there are activities and habits that makes your soul healthy. There are things that make your soul sick, soul spirit. Okay? We're not just physical beings, we are physical spiritual beings. When we think about in soul bodies or in body soul, there's a spiritual part, soulish part. And so, the holiness is really about taking care of all of us, the whole being. And I would say, in that sense, from a Christian standpoint, even the taking care of your body is an issue of holiness. But how are you taking care of the temple of God? So, if you mistreat your body, you're doing an unholy thing. Your body really doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God for God's service. And if you don't take care of your body, you are rejecting
tendency towards sin. And some of it is, it's not like strong positive drives, it's like negative drives, like fear. Fear of man, anxiety, worry, concern, which people think about. Those are simple tendencies. Not just greed, lust, pride, which is like sort of driving. Those are negative. It could be negative too. Fear people do not live for God. Fear of what other people may say, fear about the future, you don't have enough faith in God, so you collect all your money and you're trying to protect yourself with layers of finance and careful planning. That's fear. That's the fear. So we gotta fight for it. So first we gotta recognize, Lord, give me, to do an inventory, Lord, like, show me what are the dominating sins that's driving me. Is it wanting to be wrong? Is it partying? Having a good time? Having a boyfriend? Having a girlfriend? Being popular? Just be honest with the name of those things, okay? So at least you know what you're supposed to do. Okay? After you name it, ask the Lord for some strategies to fight. And I'm here to say, just say no doesn't work. No, that doesn't work. You got to have a yes. Just saying no isn't powerful. You got to have a yes. But I'm going to give you a broad yes. Like, okay, why is this battle we're fighting? And I want everyone to be convinced, I'm hoping, that by the end of this message, you know what? Fighting for holiness is worth it. It's worth it. It's worth my investment of time and energy. I'm going to fight for my holiness. That's what I want. Hopefully. So when I think about holiness, I do think about unholiness. And when unholiness runs rampant in your life, it's going to end in destruction. Verse 20, for the wages of sin is death. Unholiness in time will destroy you. This week, I don't know if this is edifying, there's a prophet, there's a musician. His name is Chris Martin. He's up here. Musical group called Coldplay. He was performing in Foxborough, in Boston. I've never heard a song by Coldplay. Again, my music listening is not with Elvis. Okay? It just begins and ends with Elvis, maybe some 40s, but don't ask me about any music from the 80s, 90s, 2000s. It's all a blur, okay? So I don't know who Chris Martin is. I think he was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. I think that's a little bit. Is that true? I don't know. Anyway, he's part of a group called Coldplay. I'm minding my business, looking at YouTube, Facebook, and he's guitar, and there's a couple, and he goes, oh, look at these two! And then all of a sudden, they hit on and then he says, oh, either they're having an affair or they're really sad. They're having an affair. Oh, wow, he's a prophet and he doesn't know. So the guy is the CEO of a company called Astronomy. And she is a head bishop. He's married. Two kids. She's recently divorced. we go after holiness at the same time we are going after joy. Contentment with that. When we go after holiness, we go after integrity. The word integrity is written in the Latin word, integer, which means whole, complete, undivided. If you're a child of God and your heart is fully for Him, you're living for Him, then you're going to have a sense, Lord, my conscience is clean. You can live free without fear. You're not saying if your wife's going to catch you. Even if somebody else doesn't catch you, your conscience will convict you if you're living in my holiness. And you will say, I'm living. Your heart will be divided. So when you're fighting for holiness, you're fighting for your joy, your integrity, you're fighting for your peace. People who are unholy do not live in peace. If you live fight for holiness, you are fighting for your dreams. The dreams in God will stay intact. If you're living in unholy, you wonder, like, those prophetic words, are they going to come true or not? And that's valid. Some of the prophetic words that you receive is conditional upon the way you're walking with God. So if you give yourself compromise, that's in jeopardy, really in jeopardy in terms of God fulfilling the dreams that He's spoken to you about. So when you fight for holiness, you are fighting for your heart. People who are unholy will eventually have a hard heart. They cannot maintain a soft, open heart. The first hardening, the first impact of the holiness is a hardness of heart towards God Himself. Because if you are living in disobedience, when you're fighting for holiness, you're fighting for fullness. Fullness of God. When we're fighting for our holiness, we're fighting for the fullness of our life. And when we're living that way, there's certain gifts that are given. And I just count just two of them. One is freedom. Like, you feel free. And that's what Paul is getting at here. The image of slavery. When you're a slave, you're beholden. You're in bondage. This wickedness is demanding you do X, Y, and Z, and you're not set free. But when you're set free and living unto Jesus, there's freedom. Nothing to hide. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be guilty. You're like, thank you, Lord, for dealing with my mess. So when you're growing in holiness, we are holy or seeking to be holy because God is holy. And when you look at God, He is the most joyful person in all the universe. The most satisfied with the world. He's the opposite of boring. He's the opposite of the same old, same old. He's the opposite of despair and sadness. God is holy because in Him there's beauty. There's righteousness. He does no wrong thing. There is an amazing freedom to hold this. The God who says, hey, I'm like this. I have created you to be like this. So then we can come into the come, enter into a holy life in Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus? Be Jesus. Have Jesus think His thoughts through you. Have Jesus feel things through you. Come and be free. I've come to hear a king. I've come to give life and to give life in its fullness. That fullness. broken reputation, broken lives.